Thank you. It is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Sunday morning. We are thankful for the Lord's great goodness, His mercy, His compassion, His infinite wisdom, and His understanding. We know He knows all about everything. If He didn't know everything, then He just wouldn't be God. But He is God. Beside Him, there is none other. Nothing takes God by surprise. He's already foresaw it all. That's how He predestinates according to foreknowledge. He knows what will take place before it even happens. We're talking about God. We're not talking about ourselves. We're just puny, insignificant, and full of holes. And man, his very best state is altogether vanity. There's nothing good about this wretched flesh that we're housed in. It's sinful and shameful by nature, by birth. We're shed iniquity and born in sin. We have a depraved nature, a fallen nature, an Adamic nature. That's why we had to be reconciled back to God Almighty through the blood of His cross. That is the blood of Jesus. Outside the shedding of His blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad to thank God my sins are under His blood, and they're in God's seal of forgiveness, never be brought to His remembrance anymore. That's what forgiven means. It's forgotten as far as God is concerned. And I'll never be accountable for those things I committed before I got saved. Now I'll answer to Him for what I've done since I've been saved. There'll be the judgment seat of Christ. That means for every born-again believer, every member of the body of Christ, the church age, the era which we now live, when we get out of here, and He's coming back after His body, after His church, He's coming. When the shout sound, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will get up, and we which are alive remain be called up and changed in a moment, a twinkling eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That we'll go straight to the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, for we, talking about himself and the church, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And beloved, you're not going to be determined as to where you go into heaven or not. You, by, of course, being good and doing good, it'll be all together or not where you've been justified, whether your sins have been forgiven, whether you know Him personally, and where He's alive in you, that is God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, I'll remind you again this morning, you must be, you've got to be born again, born of a second nature, a new nature, divine nature, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only way to get to heaven is through the blood of His cross. Outside the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the blood cannot and will not be applied, beloved, if you're not a partaker. It is, of course, the Passover Supper. That instituted in the very beginning when He brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and they had what was called the Passover Supper, where the blood was applied to little posts of the doors of the house they were in, and they took that little lamb and ate it that night, and of course burnt what they didn't eat, nothing to be left over. That was the first Passover. The old song says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Outside the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, alone cleanses us from all sin. And those that didn't have the blood applied to the little posts, the doors of their over was that the building at the house they were living in, beloved, they weren't spared. They died, the firstborn in every house there. And of course, if you don't have the blood applied to the little posts and the doors of your heart, you cannot and will not be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ only can make the atonement. It did make the atonement for your sin. Paul said, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Beloved, Jesus died the death of a sinner. Yet He knew no sin, but became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That little lamb signified God's lamb without spot, God's lamb without blemish, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Beloved, He was in the very beginning. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And the Bible said that God was the Word, and in John it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, all right. Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the law never was given to save a man. The law has no power to save. The law, beloved, was added because of transgression. And sin might become exceedingly sinful. People might be without an excuse. They have a God-given conscience. A lot of times folk will just trample over that in their own conviction or heart and go on to do what they want to do and justify what they've done. They'll try to justify what they've done in their own sight. But if they have a condemned conscience, beloved, the law was not given to save. It was, Paul said, our schoolmaster, that is our teacher, to bring us to Christ. Therefore, to realize that in our very best, we're sinners. Now, You may not be guilty of a lot of different sin, but beloved, you're a sinner. The Bible says if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. That is, you become guilty before God as a sinner, beloved. Everybody's shaped in iniquity and born in sin. But sin is not imputed. You reach the age of accountability, you have an awareness of sin, and when God deals with you, beloved, and you reject the Word of God, sin is imputed. And if you die in sin, you'll taste of a second death, an eternal death, a death where, beloved, the fire will never go out, the smoke of atonement, the second death will ascend up heaven ever and ever. Be no rest day nor night. You don't want to die without Him. You don't have to die without Him, beloved. He died for you. He died the death of a sinner, yet He knew no sin. Beloved, that He came to sin for you and I, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Justified. Thank God for what Jesus done for me, toward me, and in me. 46 wonderful years ago, He done something inside of me. It changed the outside. He put me in newness of life. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. They're a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new to you when you get saved. Thank God for the newness that comes in the soul and the heart of the believers when you get beloved, sin forgiven, and you sin get placed under the blood of Jesus. He puts you in a new and a living way. The new and a living way, which He that Jesus has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh died the death of a sinner, died on our behalf, beloved. And God has highly exalted Him, gave Him a name above every name, and there is none other name, nor other any other way, whereby all the world must be saved. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's a great high priest, a great mediator. Actually, the Bible said, the order of Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without end of life, He's a great high priest. He mediates, beloved, on behalf of the sinner, and all of us, beloved, are sinners. And He's mediating our case. That is, those who've been converted and became saints and members of the body of Christ. And then there's a saint, or as one who's been, and their sins forgiven, beloved. No way you can be called a saint. There's nothing saintly about you but Him. He's a sanctified one. He must sanctify you, cleanse you through the atoning blood. We're just sinners saved by God's marvelous, amazing grace. Paul said, I am what live, but I am only by the grace of God. He said, not even living but Christ, living me the life I now live. He said, I live by the faith, the Son of God, beloved, who has redeemed me and saved me and gave me the free gift of eternal life. Salvation, by the way, is free. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. You can't obtain it within yourself. You're not good enough. You've got to realize and recognize you're a sinner. Sin had to be atoned for. God can't look on sin. That's why He had to turn His back on the Lord Jesus, on the Son there, the Savior, as He hanged between heaven and earth. But I've been on the cross at Calvary, called the skull, the place of the skull, Golgotha's Hill, beloved, as He hanged there, of course, between heaven and earth, and the Father had to turn His back on Him. It got dark, beloved, for 3 hours because He took our sins in His own body on the tree. The just, the unjust, the holy for the unholy, that we might be reconciled back to God Almighty through the blood of His cross. He was a man of sorrow, the Bible said, acquainted with grief, smitten and stricken of God, bruised by iniquities, and the chastisement of what our peace, what we had coming, was laid upon Him. The Bible said, both Jew and Gentile, of course, He brought reconciliation. He took down that middle wall partition that was between us and nailed Him to His cross. He took it away. Thank God for Jesus. Outside Him, beloved, there is no hope. There is no salvation. There's nowhere that God's heaven, beloved. God's heaven all belong to Him. Everything that we see, the things that we do not see, all belong to God Almighty, our Father. The Bible said, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He don't need anything from us. Beloved, we need Him. He don't need me at all. I'm unworthy of even this great salvation, beloved, and I'm certainly not worthy to bring the gospel, to preach the gospel. My worthiness, beloved, my worthiness is Him. He's the worthy one. He's the divine one. He's the immaculate one. He's the only one, beloved, that can able to save sinners from sin. He saved a sinner such as myself and gave me a drink out of a well of living water, beloved, over 46 years ago, and something happened inside of me, beloved, that religion that could not do, that denomination could not do. I said before, I'll say again this morning, I'm that Jesus family for the Baptist. Beloved, and I'm glad I'm a saved Baptist. And the Baptists have doctrine, beloved. It's fundamental, it's solid, it's sound. When you get saved, it's settled, it's sealed. You're saved for eternity. Jesus said, my sheep have eternal life. Not they're going to have, but they have everlasting eternal life. How long is everlasting? It's forever, beloved. There's no end to it. And we have everlasting life. He said, my sheep have everlasting life. They'll never perish. there's no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. Paul contended in Romans and said there's no principality, power, nor present, anything, the past, the present, the future, life, the angel, or death, or any other creature shall ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our loving Lord. What a great salvation, what a pure, perfect salvation. The Bible said the spirits of just men made perfect. And the perfect part about me would be Jesus living in me, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's sanctified me, He's cleansed me, and if I weren't cleansed, He couldn't live in me. And the only thing that can cleanse you, the old song says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. And beloved, if you're not saved, hope that you will be. Do not trust in your relationship with some denomination, some organization, some affiliation, some type of good something that you've done, beloved, or just but with a head knowledge and a lip service and believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You're right in believing that, but beloved, you've got to know Him as your personal Savior. All my life, my little boy, my mother still in my heart who that He was. And I knew that, but I did not know Him as my personal Savior. But I surrendered myself. I gave up myself. And I ask God to have mercy upon me, a sinner. I give my will to the will of God. I had enough of the flesh, enough of the world, enough of sin, beloved. I was defeated. I was overwhelmed. And I'm glad, thank God, He heard my feeble, faint cry. The psalmist said again, this poor man, I'm talking about me, cried, and the Lord heard his cry, beloved, and delivered him out of all his trouble. What a blessing it is. And as the psalmist says, a day which I shall never forget, when heaven came down and glory filled my soul. What a blessing, what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor it is, not to just know about Him, but to know Him as my personal Savior. And most of the world knows about Him, beloved. And if they've not got a hard heart and a stiff neck, they know that He's the Son of God, because they know in their heart, if they just be real and honest, there's something special about His name. Yes, sir, there's something special about His name. For there is another name under heaven given among men whereby all the world must be saved. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then I'm positive about living. I'm not speculating. I'm not estimating. I'm not guesstimating. Right, God, I'm satisfied. I'm positive, beloved. He's the living Son of the living God, the Savior of all mankind. He's God reincarnate in a human body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A little Muslim friend of mine, he's my friend. I hope he didn't get saved, but he said, you believe in three gods? I said, no, sir, just one God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said in 1 John, and these three are one. Yet there are three different distinct individuals, beloved. Listen, God the Father, God the Son, God become flesh. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And God is a spirit, beloved, and God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And these three are one. You cannot, do not know one nor have one without the other. They're inseparable, beloved. These three are one. I'm glad He's alive in me, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I see my time just about gone. Write to us, pray for us, then. God bless you. It's our prayer in His name. Amen.